Cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues.
Hour four continues. This is first up on TSN 1050. The Leafs lose. Yes, they're down 2-1 to Boston, but tonight you could settle in and watch the NFL draft on TSN. You'll see coverage throughout the day. It will include the man on the line now, live from the Motor City in Detroit, Michigan, the Nail Gun, Dave Naylor, with us on the show. Hello, David. How are you?
Is Dearborn, Michigan, the Motor City? I guess it is, actually. Right around Dearborn. The corner Dearborn. From the...
Dearborn's an awesome place to live in Michigan, by the way.
Yeah. The Henry Ford, like, World Center right around the corner from us here. And, yeah. You know, all kinds
Some
of stuff.
Sick, there's really nice Fancy. Neighborhoods there.
I'm sure Dave's staying in a very expensive hotel room or Airbnb. That's how we do it at TSN. All right, let's get to the draft tonight, Dave. There's a lot of intrigue surrounding the quarterbacks. People believe it will be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. 1, 2, 3. How many QBs do you think we could see in the first round as a whole?
I think we could see 6. You have those 3. Then you could have J.J. McCarthy. You could have Michael Penix. And you could have Bo Nix.
What?
And... yeah, I mean, that's a lot. But the thing, there's two waves, right? There's the teams at the top of the draft that all need quarterbacks, which don't necessarily mean they're all going to draft quarterbacks. I mean, you could look at a team like New England and say, you know, are you better to trade out of the third spot, get a haul, build your roster, and take the quarterback next year? The other theory is that, hey, how often do you pick in the top 5? Take that opportunity to take the quarterback while you're there. But there's that first wave of teams where we know Caleb Williams is going to Chicago, right? And there's a high projected probability that Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. Then you've got New England. But then there's another run for back-hungry teams when you get outside of the top 10. You've got the Vikings at 11. You've got the Broncos at 12. You've got the Raiders at 13. And, of course, there's a possibility that any one of those teams may want to trade up, especially the Vikings, who have some draft capital because they have another first-round pick at 23. But if they don't, the question is going to be, when you get to those teams, if there's already, let's say, 4 quarterbacks off the board, when you're one of those teams at 11, 12, and 13, even though it's a quarterback, how do you feel about taking the 5th-rated quarterback for the draft as opposed to the 2nd-rated left tackle or the top-rated edge rusher? That's what it's going to come down to. But I think we're going to see a haul of quarterbacks at the start of the draft and maybe another trio going, you know, a little later as well.
What team do you think could make the biggest splash today at the draft?
I think it's unquestionably the Vikings because, you know, you look at all of the other quarterback-hungry teams, they all have lots and lots of work to do on their rosters. So you can make an argument at any point. You know, maybe not for Chicago and Washington at the very top of the draft, but pretty much elsewhere, you can make an argument that those teams would be as well advised to go elsewhere as to take a quarterback. And again, it's a huge receiver draft. It's a strong offensive line draft, and it's a strong quarterback draft. So that always kind of affects, you know, how teams will look at things just in terms of where the drop-off is, where the cliffs are in terms of the drop-offs once you get to the top talent. But with the Vikings, I mean, this is a team that, you know, has lots of playmakers. This is a team that has a good offensive line. This is a team that, you know, has a coach in Kevin O'Connell who's a elite play caller. I mean, that's a place where you can plug and play a quarterback. And because they have the draft capital of having 2 first-round picks, I think they unquestionably are the team that it would be the most likely to sort of make a splash in the draft and all about this season and all about the quarterback position.
Dave Naylor, our guest, the NFL draft on TSN 7 o'clock tonight. The Buffalo Bills, we know their offseason included shipping Stephon Diggs out. Gabe Davis leaves for Jacksonville, and there's been a lot of speculation that they're going to be looking to draft a receiver. Do you expect them to stay? I believe they draft 28, Dave. Do you expect them maybe to try to move up and maybe get in the mix for an Odunze or a Neighbors or maybe even Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I don't think Myvren Harrison Jr., because I think he's going to be gone, you know, top five, top four sort of thing. I think where it could get interesting for the Bills is if, you know, Dunze or Neighbors, if one of them gets into the teams, you know, gets into, then I think it, and I, look, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, that's where you could see the Bills, I think, make a move up. And Brandon Bean's history, I believe he has moved up for every first-round pick he's made except for Ed Oliver. So he's had what? Like, I think his first draft was 2017, I believe. So, I mean, that's his history, right, is seeing now a lot, you know, in today's modern NFL philosophy is, you know, don't move up. Like, don't believe your own eyes and don't think you've outsmarted everybody and give up draft capital move unless it's a quarterback. And obviously the Bills are not drafting a quarterback. So, I mean, there's a couple of theories on that. Like, yeah, you've got three elite receivers at the top of the draft. The Bills have got to go get one of them. Or the other way looking at it is, you know, a lot of the top draft analysts have, you know, 19 top three round grades on the receivers in this draft. I mean, it's an insane receiver draft. So you can take it the other way and say, well, you know, you can sit at 28 and get a really good receiver, or you could move up a little bit from 28 if you find a guy in the mid 20s that you really, really like, and you're just going to give a little bit of draft capital to move up. You don't necessarily have to, you know, plunge yourself into the top 10 because it is such an elite and such a deep draft at the receiver position. So I'm not even convinced the Bills will take a receiver because of the depth of the draft, to be honest. I mean, they have some real needs on the defensive line, particularly the interior defensive line. And again, you get to that situation at 28. Do you want to take the eighth best receiver, or do you want to take the third best defensive tackle or second best defensive tackle? That could be sort of a kind of scenario that the Bills are looking at. So, and you can convince yourself because of the depth of the draft of the receiver position that, hey, we can double dip at the receiver position in rounds 2 and 4 and don't necessarily have to go there in the first round. So I know all of Bills Mafia is going to go insane, Carlo, if they don't take a receiver in the first round. But I'm just preparing everybody for the possibility that could happen or not happen.
Dave, well, what about the Canadians in the draft? I mean, Canada has produced some really quality NFL players over the last number of years. What can we expect? Maybe not tonight, but over the course of the next couple of days.
Well, I think there's four or five players that have a pretty good chance of getting drafted from Canada. Last year was an all-time high, five players drafted. But I'm going to focus on a position we don't see very often come out of Canada, and that is tight end. I believe, based on my research, there have only been two tight ends from Canada ever selected in the NFL draft. One was O.J. Santiago out of Whitby, who played with the Atlanta Falcons, played in the Super Bowl, and the other one is our own Luke Wilson, of course, who from LaSalle, Ontario, played in a couple Super Bowls, won one, and, you know, has gone on to great things in TV now. I think that number, all-time number, is going to double by Saturday. Now, Theo Johnson of Penn State, who's out of Windsor, Ontario, where I will be at his draft event on Friday night, and Tanner McLaughlin, who's a kid who is out of Lethbridge, Alberta, and originally committed to play basketball at the University of Lethbridge, ended up going to Southern Utah, then transferred. He was a receiver, transferred to tight end, where at Arizona, he caught more passes during his two seasons at Arizona than a guy named Gronk, who, by the way, I was talking to Tanner this week. He's got to know Gronk a little bit because he makes his drop-ins down in Tucson. And, of course, he's playing Gronk's position on Gronk's team, so they have a bit of a relationship. And Tanner McLaughlin is a guy, he's more of a, you know, receiving tight end. I mean, that's his background. They say he adapted from receiver to tight end. So as a, you know, you look at his college production, you know, he's hit, I think, 79 catches in two seasons for almost 1,000 yards. But the question is going to be, you know, can he block at the NFL level? When I was talking to one of the points he's making to teams is that he's only a couple of years into playing the tight end position. So, you know, he thinks he has a lot of development just as a tight end. And, you know, Theo Johnson is a guy who in 4 years at Penn State, his role in the offense grew every single year. He's an elite blocker. He's an all-around athlete at the combine. I mean, he became the first tight end in the history of the NFL combine. No tight end had ever shown up at over 255 pounds, run a sub 4.6 second 40-yard dash, and vertical over 39 inches. I mean, David Sanchez was with me at the combine. He said, he vertical over 39 inches at 260 pounds. Crazy. So, yeah, he's a he's a pretty freakish athlete. And you know, he's one of those guys who his freakish athleticism has sometimes made him perceived, or he thinks, perceived more as an athlete than a football player, especially coming out of Canada. Both these guys, all their high school football in Canada, which isn't that common these days for the elite prospects. But, you know, we aired a story on SportsCenter last night that you can find online and on my Twitter and all that, about Theo Johnson's family. And I got to say, man, in 30 years of storytelling about Canadian football players, I don't know that I've told a more remarkable story than that of Theo Johnson. And just to very quickly summarize it, his mother raised six kids by herself from the time that they were between the ages of about 2 and 10. And during that process, while raising six kids by herself, she went to law school and graduated law school at age 40.
Wow.
If you want to know where Theo Johnson's inspiration comes from, watch the feature. It's an amazing family story, and the Johnsons were just absolutely fantastic for us to work with. They really trusted us and told what is a very sensitive story, and we hope we did it justice. But it's take some time and watch that. We're really proud of it, and I think you want to learn something about what some players' families, them and their families, go through just on that path, on their journey in life. And in Theo Johnson, it's going to end up with his name being called from Detroit, the city that he grew up looking at as a Windsor kid. His mom, they moved to Windsor when Theo was, I think, about 10 years old. That was the school where his mother was accepted to the University of Windsor Law School, and they stayed there and have lived there ever since. So we talked about just kind of the serendipity of his draft year coming up, the first time ever the NFL draft is being held in Detroit. And that is, Theo actually has the skyline of Detroit tattooed on his bicep, because that's the vision he grew up watching as a kid.
That's very cool. We will retweet that on the First Up account, and we appreciate you doing this, Dave. Good luck tonight. We'll be watching all the content. We'll have you back on Tuesday to break down the CFL draft as well.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
See you, Bill.
That's Dave Naylor, who apparently didn't get my joke there about the CFL draft. Maybe he thought I was being serious. I don't know. We'll find out. We will not be calling Dave Naylor for CFL draft breakdowns, people, I promise. What we will be doing is hearing some of our interview with Mike Johnson. He joined us earlier on the other side talking about the Leafs and the Bruins, plus my FanDuel best bets still to come.